Well, please do turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, and this morning we'll be reading verses 22 to 33. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. If you can cast your minds back a couple of weeks, you'll remember that Paul has just exhorted his readers to be filled with the Spirit, and now he goes on to explain what a Spirit-filled life looks like in several different spheres. And he begins with what is really the most fundamental sphere or institution of society, namely marriage. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Increasingly, the biblical view of marriage, that it is a God-created covenant institution that is to be entered into by one man and one woman, that biblical view of marriage is increasingly being sidelined and dismissed in our world, isn't it? And this development is leading, I believe, not only to much confusion in society at large, but also to much confusion in the church about what marriage really is. And that is one reason why it's so important for us to listen carefully and to learn from a passage like the one before us this morning here in Ephesians chapter 5. For in this passage, Paul sets down for us some basic principles and truths concerning Christian marriage. And he does so by first addressing wives and explaining what their role is in the marriage relationship, the marriage covenant. And then he goes on to address at greater length husbands, and he explains what their particular role is within the covenant of marriage. And so this morning we're simply going to walk through the passage and look at what Paul says by the inspiration of the Spirit to wives and then to husbands. So the first thing that he says is directed to wives within marriage, and he says this to them: submit. Wives, submit to your husbands. We see that in verse 22, don't we? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Notice, by the way, that this command is circumscribed. It's limited. Wives, he says, are to submit to their own husbands, not necessarily to anyone else's. And notice also that he says that they are to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. In other words, a wife's submission to her husband is, it's part and parcel of her deeper submission to the Lord Jesus. Why should a wife submit to her husband? Because ultimately she is to submit to the Lord Jesus, and she submits to her husband in order to please her Lord, in order to please Jesus Christ. For, Paul goes on in verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife. Here we are given the specific reason for the wife's duty to submit. It's because her husband is her head. Her husband is her leader. Her husband exercises authority. He is the one who is, if you like, in charge. Her husband is her head. Now, we need to be clear this morning that this does not in any way mean that the husband is superior to his wife, that he is morally or in any other way superior or better than his wife. Not at all. The Bible is very, very clear that both men and women are created in God's image. They are both God's images. And so they are, in that most important sense, equal. As God's images, they are equal in dignity, in value, and in worth. Male headship, therefore, does not in any way mean male superiority. It's important to be clear about that at the start. No, male headship is to do with the particular function that the husband has been assigned by God. Male headship is to do with the official role that the husband exercises by God's appointment. That's what it's to do with. And that function, that role, is to lead, is to be the head. And that's why a wife must submit, because by God's design, by God's appointment, the husband is her head, the husband is her leader, even as, Paul goes on in the rest of verse 23, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its saviour. Just as Jesus is the head of his bride, the church, leading her, directing her, guiding her, exercising authority over her, so too, by way of analogy, the husband is the head of his bride. The husband is to his wife, by way of analogy, what Christ is to the church. That's what Paul is saying here. And so given that the church submits to Christ, so also, verse 24, wives should submit in everything to their husbands. There isn't much wriggle room there, is there, in what Paul says in verse 24. In everything, a wife is to submit to her husband. Now, there are exceptions. There are exceptions to that everything. For example, if a husband tells his wife to do something sinful, something that is contrary to God's will, then it is the duty of the wife not to submit. Because, of course, above all else, she is to submit to Jesus Christ, who is her ultimate head, her ultimate leader. And, of course, Jesus Christ is the perfect husband. He is the perfect head. He only ever commands us to do what is good and right and true. And so we must always, without any exception whatsoever, we must always submit to him. By contrast, I hardly need to say this, but by contrast, husbands are sinners. Husbands get things wrong. Husbands, from time to time, or maybe quite a lot of the time, make mistakes. What is more, we need to recognize that very often our wives know best. Very often our wives are, frankly, wiser than us. And so there is, therefore, definitely a place for a wife to express her opinion. There is a place, yes, for a wife to disagree with her husband. Submission does not in any way mean subjugation, as if a wife is just to be a doormat, just doing whatever her husband says regardless. No, that's not the case. In fact, part of our wisdom as husbands is to listen to our wives and to take their views on board. After all, as we read in Genesis chapter 2, a wife is a helper, which is a glorious thing because, of course, God himself is our helper. A wife is a helper to her husband. And how we need the help of our wives, don't we, husbands? So it's important to be clear about that. Nevertheless, even when a wife disagrees with her husband, perhaps disagrees very strongly with her husband, even then, a wife must always display a submissive spirit. A wife must never disdain or disrespect her husband. She must at all times, even when she is strongly disagreeing with her husband, she must at all times honor him and respect him. Why? Because by God's design, his wise design and appointment, her husband is her head. And she needs to honor and to respect the office that he occupies. She must have a heart that seeks at all times to, as one person puts it, voluntarily yield itself in love. Now that is a wonderful definition, I think, of biblical submission. Biblical submission is a voluntary yielding in love. Biblical submission is not forced servitude, which is the way some people misunderstand it. No, biblical submission is all about a voluntary yielding in love. And this, may I remind you, this is a most beautiful thing. This is a most Christ-like thing. After all, Jesus himself submitted, didn't he? Jesus himself submitted to his Father. Jesus voluntarily yielded himself in love to his Father. And therefore, there is nothing whatsoever demeaning about submission. How can there be? There can be nothing demeaning about submission. On the contrary, submission is quintessentially Christ-like. And what could be more elevating than that? What could be more elevating, more liberating, more fulfilling than imitating Jesus Christ? And it seems to me so important for us in our day and age to remember this, because as I've already mentioned, the idea of submission in our society is seen as almost a wholly negative thing, as being really akin to oppression. There's nothing good about submission in the eyes of many. In fact, if you could imagine someone posting Ephesians chapter 5 on Facebook or tweeting it or whatever you do, then I don't think it would take very long for that person who has posted Ephesians chapter 5 on Facebook or whatever to be accused of hate speech. I don't think it would take very long for the accusations to start flying. You're anti-women. What you are saying is hateful and must be rejected. Submission is not really a very popular concept in our culture, to say the least. And we need to recognize, I think, that certainly its misinterpretation and misapplication of a passage like the one before us this morning has, I am sure, led to the mistreatment, perhaps even worse, perhaps even the abuse of many women in the past and even today as well. We need to acknowledge that. But we do need to remember that this is God's command. And God is our good and our wise creator. And God knows what is best for us. And God has told us what is best for us. And that includes this command. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. But then, secondly, Paul goes on to address husbands. And he says to them, husbands, love your wives. If the particular command to wives is to submit to their husbands, then the particular command to husbands is to love their wives. Paul stresses this. He repeats it three times, in fact. It's there in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. It's there again in verse 28, husbands should love their wives. And it's there for a third time in verse 33, let each one of you love his wife as himself. You've got to love your wife. You've got to love your wife. You've got to love your wife, Paul keeps saying. In other words, the headship of a Christian husband is not for one moment characterized by force or by dominance or by showing who's in charge. The headship of a husband is certainly not characterized by abuse, whether physical or some other kind of abuse, not at all. Here we see that the headship of a Christian husband is characterized by love. That is the essence of what it means to be a Christian husband, to be the head of your wife. It means to love her. And what does that mean? Well, it means to be loving like Jesus. Husbands, love your wives, verse 25, as Christ loved the church. We, of course, will never match the love of Jesus. He's perfect, we are imperfect. However, our headship, as Christian husbands, our headship is to savor of the grace and of the love of our Savior. It's to have that beautiful aroma of Christ-like love. And such love is, in the first place, sacrificial love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus, Paul says, loved the church so much that he died for her. He gave himself up for her. He gave himself up for her. Not just his time, not just his energy, not just his interests. Jesus gave himself up for her. His whole self. He laid down for his bride because he loved her so much. He gave up his life so that she might live, so that she might not die. You see, it's love for his bride that took Jesus to the cross. And husbands, listen to me. It's love for our bride that should take us to the cross for them. We should love our wives so much that we give ourselves up for them. That every day we are seeking, by God's grace, to die to sin and to die to self and to die to selfishness. Every day, by God's grace, we should be sacrificing ourselves. Not just our time, our energy, our money, our interests, whatever else, we should be sacrificing ourselves, our whole selves for their good, for their blessing, for their life. Our focus should be on them, not upon ourselves. Now, of course, we do need to remember, I know this is an obvious point, but we do need to remember that we do not die for our wife's sins. Jesus did that. Jesus has already done that. Only Jesus is the Savior, the true Savior of our wife. And we must always remember that, just in case we develop, as we are prone to develop, a Savior complex, to think that we are bigger and better and stronger than we really are. We're not. And we rely upon Jesus, our Savior, just as much as our wives do. You are not your wife's savior, but you are to be like your savior to her. And this in the first place means giving yourself up for her in sacrificial love. Are you doing that, husbands? Every day, are you waking up and thinking to yourself, how today can I give myself up in love for my wife? Lord, help me today. Give me the grace today to love my wife sacrificially. To give myself up for her and for her blessing. Our love is to be sacrificial, but it's also to be sanctifying. We must also, in the second place, be as Christ to our wives, in terms of the sanctifying love that Jesus has shown for his church. And that's what Paul addresses when he says in verses 26 and 27 that Jesus gave himself up for his bride that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. You know, Jesus Christ loved his bride so much that he was willing to die for her as she was, dirty and unclean and sinful. But Jesus also loves his bride so much that he is not willing to leave her as he found her. You see, in love, Jesus has cleansed his bride, his church, by the washing of water with the word. Paul there using the language of baptism to describe our salvation, the waters of baptism symbolizing our cleansing from the dirt and the stain of sin. Jesus has done that. And in the same love, Jesus continues to clean up his bride, to clean her, to sanctify her, until one day she shall be made spotlessly clean. Now that is Jesus' great purpose for the church. That she be made splendid. That she be made beautiful in holiness. That is what he is working for. That is his great purpose. His great object is to present to himself his bride spotlessly clean, holy and without blemish. His love for us is a sanctifying love. It's a perfecting love. And husbands, as a result, by way of analogy, are to show the same kind of love to their wives. A sanctifying love, as well as a sacrificial love. So, husbands, let me just ask you a few questions in light of that. Do you love your wife so much that above all else, you want your wife to become like Jesus? You want your wife to become as much like Jesus as she possibly can. Do you love her in that way? Is your great desire for your wife that she become holy? Is that the thing that gives you most delight in your wife? Her holiness. Not her lovely smile or her beautiful hair. Wonderful though those things are. But is your great delight your wife's holiness, that true inner spiritual beauty? Do you read the Bible with your wife? Do you pray with your wife as well as for your wife? Do you encourage your wife when you see signs of grace in her? Do you gently rebuke your wife when you see sin in her? Do you say sorry to your wife when you again let her down? Do you forgive your wife when she lets you down? Or do you harbor resentment? Do you spend time with your wife? Do you actually spend time with your wife? Or do you spend more time on the computer or playing sport or whatever it might be? Do you just love being in the company of your wife? I hope so. And do you ever actually tell your wife that you love her? You know, in all of these and in so many, many other ways, you love your wife with a Christ-like, sanctifying love. You know, at the moment, it's as though, in terms of the church, it's as though the bride of Christ is in her wedding dress, but she's not yet ready to come down the aisle. You know, she still needs, well, her hair needs to be done. And the makeup needs to be applied. And the jewelry needs to be put on. Maybe she needs to lose a little bit more weight. I don't know. But certain things need to be done before she can walk down the aisle. And this, in a manner of speaking, is what Jesus is busy doing each day. He is busy beautifying his church, getting her ready. But one day, his work will be complete. And then, his bride, the church, will walk down the aisle. And she will be presented to her groom, beautiful in holiness, spotlessly clean. This is what Jesus is busy doing for you, for his bride, for the church. And this, husbands, is therefore what you must be doing for yours. You must be loving your wife to heaven. Somebody once said, the first responsibility of a husband is to see his wife safely to glory. The first responsibility of a husband is to see his wife safely to glory. Are you, Christian husbands, seeing that your wife is getting safely to glory? Love your wife. Love her sacrificially. Love her sanctifyingly. Love her as your own body. Love her as your own self. Nourish her, cherish her, just as you would your own body. She is, after all, as Paul says in verse 31, quoting Genesis chapter 2, she is one flesh with you. You are one flesh, husband and wife. And this mystery, as Paul also says, this mystery of a husband and a wife's one flesh union is profound. And it's profound because it's all about that even profounder mystery of the union between Christ and his church. This is what Christian marriage is. It is a picture, maybe a faint echo, of the greatest marriage of all, the marriage of Jesus to his church. What a wonderful thing, therefore, marriage is. But oh, what a hard thing marriage can be as well. Because we're sinners and we live in a fallen world. We're not yet perfect. I don't know, but perhaps as you've listened to the sermon this morning, you've been left feeling somewhat rebuked, perhaps even condemned. You hear the injunctions to submit and to love. You hear them and you hear what your marriage should be like. But you're forced to conclude, that's not me. That's not us. surely all of us who are married would have to say that in measure, wouldn't we? That's not me, that's not us. No marriage is perfect. And that's why, as we close, it's so important for you to remember that God is gracious. God is full of grace. And his grace is freely available to you in your perfect husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you, husbands and wives, are you this morning struggling in your marriage? Are you finding it hard, maybe almost impossibly hard, to be a submissive wife, to be a loving husband? Is your marriage almost at breaking point this morning? If it is, and actually even if it isn't, then you need to go to Jesus. You need to go to him. Go to him for forgiveness. Go to him for help. Because he will give it to you. Jesus will not turn you away. Jesus will never let you down, even though you let him down, even though you let your spouse down and your spouse lets you down, Jesus will never let you down because he is your perfect husband. He is your ever gracious husband. You know, remember, you are not your savior. Your marriage is not your savior. Do not trust in yourself. Do not trust in your marriage. Trust in Jesus, because only Jesus is your savior. Only he, in the end, only he can save your marriage. Only he, in the end, can prosper your marriage. And he can. He can. So let me say to you this morning, husbands and wives, let me say to you single people, let me say to you children and everyone else, sink yourselves afresh in Jesus's great love for you. Jesus Christ gave himself up for you. Jesus Christ is going to make you splendid. He promises to make you beautiful in holiness. He's going to do it. No doubt about it. You are one with Christ. He is one with you. He has committed himself to you in covenant marital love. Sink yourselves afresh in his great love for you. And all in the end, however dark it may seem at this time, all in the end will be well. So wives, like Jesus, submit. Husbands, like Jesus, love. Amen.